Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Things First.
Danny, the question is, should fans be concerned, but also, are you concerned?
Yeah, I'm very concerned.
Wow.
Thank you for asking.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
Is it you guys' job to help the fan out? To give us a lead as far as what's going on with the team. Danny Parkins, all these guys, you guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy.
Danny Parkins.
R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
On 670 The Score.
Wait.
Ah, yes. The R.I.P. Louis Anderson. We go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline and download the Circa app today. That is where we find Danny Parkins. I know him originally from Parkins and Spiegel, and that was one show. Then there was also Spiegel and Parkins. That was another show. They were two totally different shows is what they tell me. And now he's on First Things First, which I hear is a different show.
Yeah, and it's got like different parts to it. Like there's a First Things First, and there's another addendum to First Things First. I can't keep it straight. Help us out, Danny. What are you doing now?
Yeah, 1 hour a day of television. It's a cushy gig, but someone has to do it.
Okay.
I'm on First Things First, the third hour, or the OT, whatever you want to call it, or just call it First Things First, every day from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Time. That's the gig, but I'm pumped to be on with you guys.
Happy to have you on as well. So, First Things First, pun intended, what does this mean for the Danny Parkins afternoon bath?
Yeah, it complicates things. But thankfully, I have 23 hours a day to take baths now. So I get in whenever I want. The car takes me home right when the studio ends, put the kids to bed. And then, you know, maybe now it's like a Thursday night football bath. Maybe I'll have some Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, and a little Epsom salt. You know, I haven't really gotten into the new routine quite yet. But yeah, I think it's going to be more of an evening bath situation now. But thank you for asking. It's on my list of concerns, but it's not at the top of my list of concerns, you know?
I mean, it's a promo. You know, we've had promo material with it. Danny is also joining us from what I can tell might be the Fox Sports 1 set, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore if you want to see him there.
No, this is just a podcast studio. This is just a podcast studio in our building. Yeah.
It's very fancy.
We built a multi-purpose digital studio here. I think when Joel Klatt's in town, I think he does his show from here. I know that the Bear, Felica and Jeff Schwartz, they do their Bear Bets pod from here. So yeah, this is just like a digital multi-purpose studio that I slide into every now and again. But yeah, very fancy accommodations around here.
Speaking of multi-purpose, Caleb Williams looked real multi-purpose on Monday. He was running, he was throwing, then he was throwing into the ground and throwing over people's heads. Where are you on the Caleb Williams development plan with Ben Johnson?
Well, like I listened to every word that Ben Johnson said in training camp, and I would read and listen to a lot of the reports from the boots on the ground, the people that were there, and all of the reporters were saying, like, this is going to take time. It's a process. You're going to need patience and patience and patience. And I was, like, going into the game, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to, like, just give this time, and I'm going to have patience. And then the first drive, and he started 10 for 10, and I was like, screw patience. Like, Super Bowl, you know? And then he went 8 for his next 20.
Exactly.
Like, it was, you know, that's the roller coaster and our lot in life. And so, like, logical that piece of me, as your rational thought provider, like Spiegel used to call me, like, I understand that, like, highs and lows, tough defense, the opener, new system, all the adjustments with the footwork, playing on time. I get it. Like, that's tough. But when you start 10 for 10 and you drive right down the field, I don't care about patience, and I just want that to continue. So, you know, I thought that was a tough game for Bears fans to process. And now you stare 0-2 at the face if you lose to the Lions on the road. Like, that game was tough because you really should have won it. You should have won that game. You should be 1-0 right now. And then everything else about Caleb would be the same. We would know that it was going to be a roller coaster. We would know there were going to be ups and downs. We know it was going to, progress wasn't going to be linear, but you'd have a win in your back pocket. Now, all of a sudden, you're staring at 0-2 if you lose to Detroit, and it sucks.
I think you put it really well. We were talking earlier, Danny, in the show about knowing that it was going to take time, but then realizing we all have a picture in our head of what the setbacks that we find acceptable are, both in a game and I think even if you go week to week or month to month. We know what happened when the Lions started with Ben Johnson. They were 1-6, and you keep it in mind. But that's the hard part, is on the other side, watching the game unfold, knowing that exactly what you just said, this was a winnable game. Also, you have a place for your reasonable thoughts, okay? That's your hour on TV where you're in the suit and all of that. I think you need to use this time to get off the takes that are out there that you really, this is your creativity.
Oh, I got a lot of inappropriate takes in the
good.
Of
give good. Us your yeah. best inappropriate
so,
takes.
So all of those things are just things I wanted to tell you about. Like, if we're going to define this space for you, it can't be, TV can be the business time, this can be the party time.
Oh, well, listen, first of all, I don't know if you see Parkin's picks on television, but I literally had them make me a blinged out 65% chain that I wear on television in a flowing robe and a crown and sunglasses because I am the picks king. So I don't take television all of that seriously either. The comparison game is tough, right? Comparison is the thief of joy, right? Any dime store therapist will tell you that. But when you see J.J. McCarthy have 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns and you see Bo Nix be in the playoffs and you see Jaden Daniels be in the NFC Championship game, it's tough to hear patience. Like, I don't like it. I understand that it's rational. I understand that's what Ben Johnson wants, and that's what Caleb wants, and that's what Kurt Warner or Chase Daniel or any quarterback analyst that you guys have on. It takes time. It's like learning a new language. But I get it, but I also see all of these other quarterbacks in all of these other situations having way more success way sooner than the Bears, and it makes it very difficult to have patience. And it's easier than ever to have more success sooner than ever because of how these offenses are built and catered to the quarterback. And so it just feels like everyone else is getting the toy for Christmas that you want. And you're like, I want to open my toy now.
Well, I'll say this, Danny. Those other quarterbacks, they are multilingual and grew up in multilingual households, it seems like. Meanwhile, English, second language for one Caleb Williams. How much patience are you willing to have? That's the real question. That's what we've been trying to address on this program.
Well, like, so what are we talking about? Are you talking about Bajent? What are we talking about?
Well, Bajent is the next guy up, I would assume, if it's not Case Keenum. But I'm talking about over the course of this season, are we talking about 8-9 games in, if Caleb Williams is not connecting on basic throws? He could be showing all the special he wants, but if he's not connecting on basic throws in week 10, what are you going to be saying?
I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be frustrated.
Will you be okay with Tyson Bajent then?
No. So, all right. So here's a little sports talk radio thing for you guys that I won't be able to get into on TV because no one would care.
This is what we wanted.
Okay. Well, then here's what I want you guys to do. I want you guys to get every Bears beat reporter on the record as to who they think had a better training camp. Because what I am hearing is that some people actually believe that Tyson Bajent is better than Caleb Williams. And I think those people are insane.
They are.
I think there is no earthly reason to believe that Caleb Williams is going to be a bust or anything like that, and that he is frustrating and he is crazy talented. But, like, I think there's a chance that this ends up like Trevor Lawrence. And it's like, well, Trevor Lawrence, he's not a bust, but he's a disappointment. Like, but Trevor Lawrence is going to make a couple $100 million and got a second contract with the Jaguars and has a ton of talent and can win games because of him, but he's inconsistent. Now, Trevor Lawrence's inconsistencies are more turnover-based. Caleb seems to be more, you know, taking sacks and accuracy-based, although Trevor Lawrence's completion percentage plummeted back to 60% last year. So maybe they're both have bouts of inaccuracy. Caleb takes more sacks. Trevor makes more turnovers. But, like, this idea that Caleb, that Ben Johnson came here to bench Caleb Williams 9 games in is just intergalactically stupid. And I just, I have, Tyson Bagent cannot make that play to Roma Dunze on the right sideline. He just can't, he can't. And I don't think that there's 10 other quarterbacks in the world who can make that play to Roma Dunze on the right sideline. So it feels reasonable to me to say the stuff that like, that pass to DJ Moore on 4th and 3, a lot of quarterbacks can make that throw. A lot of college quarterbacks can make that throw.
Exactly.
Caleb Williams can make that throw. He just missed it. So, like, I am willing to take time for him to get more consistent with his fundamentals, with his knowledge of the offense, with his knowledge of when to throw the ball, you know, 80 miles an hour instead of 110 miles an hour, like the touch and the feel and all of that stuff, because the improvisational ability, man, that is like Josh Allen, prime Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes type stuff. Like, if he can hit his layups, it still feels to me like his ceiling is MVP of the league. So I'm not going to be even considering giving up on Caleb Williams 9 games into this thing, because that's just, my eyes tell me that his talent is so special. It's that the stuff between his ears needs to get harnessed. And that's why you gave Ben Johnson, what did they give him? 8 figures, right? Like 8 figures per year. I know that coaching salaries are, you know, kind of nebulous in the reporting, but Ben Johnson is the highest paid non-football person at House Hall. He makes more money than Ryan Poles. They empowered him to fix Caleb Williams between the ears because he has everything else. So, like, I'm not giving up on Caleb Williams, but that doesn't mean I can't be frustrated by Caleb Williams.
Our segment with Danny Parkins is brought to you by the 2026 President's Cup. He joins us here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
But how many people do you think are afraid to say that they think Tyson Bagent is better than Caleb Williams that cover the Bears?
Think it's a matter of fear? Do you, like, I don't think,
yes.
To a man, the football talent dictates that I agree with you, that Caleb Williams is better than Tyson Bagent.
Danny, I know
that there are reporters who cover the Bears who are afraid of Bears fans in their mentions saying that Tyson Bagent is better. Like, and so my question is, like, why? Like, even if they're like, well, Tyson Bagent had a better camp than Caleb Williams. Say it. Say it if you think that.
I think
some of this stuff is just ridiculous.
I think the issue is the floor versus the ceiling, and I'm all about finding out the ceiling. Let's climb to that,
right?
For Caleb. The floor doesn't matter as much unless you're incapable of giving the floor at all times to a certain standard. You can't be down in the basement, is my point with Caleb Williams. I think Ben Johnson will be the guy who brings the best out of Caleb Williams. I am very confident in that. I have way more confidence in that than a lot of things, and I got confidence in a lot of things, Danny.
I'm sure you got a lot of confidence in yourself. You're a handsome man.
Flattery will get you nowhere in this particular segment. We need to set that standard right now.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I have confidence because of, like, between the ears. I don't have much confidence in terms of, like, outward presentation. But so, like, yeah, I'm sure you have a ton of confidence. Listen, Ben Johnson, they hired him for a reason. I did not think it was a great debut, if I'm being totally honest. Like, I did not think that, you know, I what I appreciated was his reaction to the question yesterday about taking the accountability with, like, specifics and not getting defensive over it. Like, that showed a good leader. I thought Ben Johnson, sometimes he looks like a crazy person on the sidelines with, like, his intimidating stare, but he also doesn't have quite as good of a poker face as he seems to want his players to have. Because remember, there was the story, I'm sure you guys covered it more closely, but, like, he was like, you know, he didn't want to be a palms up team. Like, the story was, like, that he showed Caleb Williams clips of, like, where he had, like, body language issues last year, and he's like, that's a sign of weakness, we don't want to do it. The camera caught Ben Johnson cursing out his quarterback, like, multiple times. Like, after incompletions, he was just like, gee damn it. Like, he just, like, kept saying, like, he was just he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he looks like a crazy person, and I love it because I don't think any football coaches are normal. So like, I want the Bears to have a psychopath as the head coach as long as he can also like scheme up a hell of an offense. But he also has to know that Cairo Santos doesn't have a deep leg, and you should just kick that ball out of bounds sideways and give it to them at the 40 and not the 35. And he's got to know about the challenge rule that when a guy is down, the ball is an extension of the man. Like, you gotta get that stuff right when you're an analytically forward coach. I loved his decision to go for it on fourth down when Caleb missed DJ Moore. I thought that was backed up by analytics and the numbers. So there's like, I love a lot of everything. I love everything I've heard from Ben Johnson, and I just thought it was kind of a shaky debut for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that there's a lot of mental inventory you have to keep as a head coach during a game. And it sounds like from what he had to say yesterday, it got away from him a bit. But I'm with you. After seeing what I feel like were coaches not reacting off to what was going on in the game, that part of it was a refreshing change.
It's much better than the blank stare, Danny, from one Matt Eberflus on several occasions during that Thanksgiving day specifically.
Yeah, it's definitely not that. But, like, you know, that's the – I listen – this is a town that saw Mark Trestman kick a field goal on second down. This is a town that saw John Fox challenge a play, win it, only to for the win of his challenge to give the ball to the Green Bay Packers, the single worst challenge in the history of the NFL. Matt Eberflus forgetting that he had timeouts in the game against Detroit, not holding guys accountable and almost losing the locker room to the Hail Mary against Washington. Like, we've seen bad coaching. Ben Johnson, I have no expectation that it will be that, but I'm also not terribly interested in holding him to the standard of Mark Trestman and John Fox. Like, I want to hold him to the standard of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, because that's what the Bears paid for. That's what the Bears are trying to get. So he's got to be on top of that stuff. He's got to not trust his kicker that he can kick it out of the back of the end zone, and he's got to know that Cairo Santos doesn't have that kind of leg, and he's got to kick it out of bounds and sacrifice it to the 40-yard line. Like, that's like where you win games in the margins, and, you know, I really respected that Ben Johnson took some accountability for that yesterday.
So what do you think happens on Sunday?
Who the hell knows? I mean, more pain. You know, Ben Johnson told me when he was on First Things First, you know, he was funny about it. I was like, do you have a play saved up for your week two matchup against Detroit? And he was like, maybe. And then he moved it along. So like, I'm sure we're going to see something special. The touchdown design on that throw from Caleb to Roma Dunze, that was a great play design if you go back and watch like the all-22 of that. Mm-hmm. So like that, like Ben Johnson, it's in there, obviously. Like I think the guy is gonna do great things in Chicago, but the truth is that this is a huge game, and Dan Campbell called it a must win for the Lions, and they're at home and they are more talented. I had my researcher Troy look it up today before First Things First. Teams who have started 0-2 with their first two losses being division losses, have only gone on to win their division 3.6% of the time. Like, it's basically like, if you lose this game, your ceiling is the wild card. So, you know, it's a massive game, and the Lions are favored and they're at home. So the Bears have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I saw that from Dan Campbell, and part of me was thinking, oh, this is Dan Campbell doing Dan Campbell things, but the math backs it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, listen, those numbers, you have to throw the caveat on, like, because we did it going back to 1970 from the merger. Like, obviously, right. the vast majority of that's not 17 game schedule. So, you know, there will be, like, with more games comes the opportunity for, you know, bigger comebacks and things like that. But, you know, I don't think many people thought this was the year the Bears were going to take the North and never give it back, to quote Ryan Poles. But if they lose this game, given how good Green Bay looks, given that they would have two losses in the division, it would be very, 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 very historically unlikely that they're going to win the division this year.
Dang.
Danny Parkins, thanks for joining us. Anything else you want to let people know before we let you go?
Oh, no. Looking forward to joining you guys throughout the year. You know, want to keep my presence on the Score. The Radiothon will be back next year. The Brain Up 5K is coming up September 21st down at the lakefront. You go to brainup.ngo. We'll have over 1,500 people out there, going to probably raise somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000 for brain cancer awareness. And tune in to First Things First. I'll be on from 4 to 5 Central every day.
Love it. FS1. Thanks, Danny. And thanks for letting us know about the 5K. I appreciate the heads up. That was Danny.
Absolutely. See you out there.
That was Danny Parkins. You know him well. He will join us every week here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody. And about that with Mark Grody part, we have a Mark Grody hit from Hallis Hall coming up next on 670 The Score.
Bears.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody, WBBN.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
You know what that music means, Grotalica. It's Mark Grody time here in Raheem and Harris with that man, Mark Grody, on 670 The Score. As we go back out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circa app today. Mark, joining us from the hall. Grotes, what's the latest in Lake Forest?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I am actually, your timing is exquisite because I am literally pulling up to the security hut here at the hall, entering, getting ready to hear from Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams in just a little bit. And I will say, as a quick aside, I am very grateful to hear that Danny Parkins agreed to be my warm-up act here on The Score. He did a great job.
Yeah, we like him as an opener for you, Grody, but we all know you're the main event. I mean, your name, full name, is on the show. That's how I know that. What are you expecting? Actually, I want to get your reaction to what Ben Johnson had to say yesterday. We talked about the fact they only talked 5 minutes right after the game. He talked 12 great minutes yesterday, and I loved your question specifically.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I talked about it on the radio and said, you know, somebody should ask him that, so I kind of felt like I had to ask him, what was your part in all of this? And he was ready to take responsibility, and that, you know, that tells me a couple of things. Number one, he is a stand-up guy who will take responsibility, and of course, we're not going to expect him to do that every single week. And look, it's rare for coaches in general to do that, not just his predecessor. The other thing that told me was, is that he is aware of what went on last year and some of the frustrations, and maybe he was even coached to some degree, like during the interview process, for which I would give the Bears credit to say, like, here's what that coach did wrong in terms of media relations, public relations, all of that kind of stuff. So I do think that that's an important part to it. I actually thought, though, that the more important part of the press conference was a question that Dan Wiederer asked. And that is, stand by here. I'm just, hey, what's going on? Security guard let me in.
Did he let you in?
He did. Yes, now I have to find the remote parking. It's a packed house out here at Hallis Hall today. I'm not going to get any of the good spots. Actually, the really funny part is that the media parks as far back as possible, and George McCaskey parks back here as well. And I was walking with him to this remote parking lot last week or a couple of weeks ago, just kind of happened to bump into him, so we made the walk together. And I asked him, why do you park back here? You own the team. And he said, well, it's kind of setting an example for the employees. And he said, now the media essentially can't bitch. If the owner of the team is parking back here, you guys, the media, can't get on us. So that's just classic George.
But also, we know George likes to walk. George has famously walked 100 miles in the name of the Bears.
That's true. He's always on the move. George is always on the move, for sure. But to get back to like the substance of yesterday, the question in terms of like how do you deal with it in terms of the cadence and the snap count if some of these things aren't going right for Caleb Williams right now, and he quickly said silent count. at Detroit. So that leads us into this week, and that leads us into general questions about that, you know, which will probably come up today again, like what the responsibility of Caleb Williams when it comes to some of those penalties, some of those offsides calls. So I thought that that was super pertinent, and maybe even more so than Ben Johnson owning his errors in that presser yesterday.
No, Mark, that was one of my big takeaways too, because I'm thinking to myself as an observer, hold on, man, if you guys are still having false start issues with what you think is your base cadence at home, what on earth is silent count going to look like?
Yeah, exactly. And look, I mean, we asked all of those questions leading up to the game. There were lots of questions about the cadence for Caleb Williams, and I think some of it came to pass. Now, I'm not able to discern everything just by rewatching the TV copy, which I have done. I've not watched the All-22, obviously the coaches and the players can discern some of that, and those are some of the questions I think that we can definitely start to ask today. And we'll find out if we will get answers from the head coach, Ben Johnson, and to a different degree from Caleb Williams, who will take the lectern today out here at Halas Hall before the Bears do a walkthrough practice around 5 o'clock or so.
Joined by Mark Grody. He's part of the show. Today he's at Halas Hall because we like to have an extension out there where the things are happening. Mark, the answer about Caleb Williams was a little concerning to me yesterday from Ben Johnson in terms of needing to get to know his player better. I'm wondering, how did you make out that answer, what it means to you?
Yeah, and I did think that was interesting as well. And I guess one of the possible answers is maybe there were things that Ben Johnson thought that Caleb Williams had a pretty good grip on. Like that, because we heard Ben Johnson talking about how much Caleb had improved from day one of whatever you want to say, OTAs or training camp, to the end of training camp and the off-season program. And I think maybe that's where he's coming from, that he thought that the game plan he put forth, what he took off his plate and added to his plate, that they were good to go. And so I think that maybe there are some basic concerns that Caleb Williams still has to take care of that Ben Johnson was not necessarily expecting.
Well, and I think it goes back to even what we were talking about, Mark, on the show on Tuesday, yesterday, which is he might realize now, especially after watching the film, how much more work there is cut out for him. You know, Danny mentioned it in his last segment, talking about, for example, the expected leg strength of Cairo Santos. And maybe that wasn't made obviously clear to the head coach, who focuses on offense, until he's expected to say, you know, after the game, he says, yeah, we thought he could boot it out of the end zone. It's a different tune than what we heard yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, one thing that comes to my mind with all of what happened on Monday night, including the kicking, as you brought up, Layla, there's a lot of head coaches who have been humbled quickly when they come here. They have an idea of what they think they can do, and they're very confident about it, bordering on cocky about it, which I like about Ben Johnson, which I liked about Matt Nagy. And then the realization starts to hit it. I'm laughing because right now, walking past me is my Take the North partner. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. How are you, buddy? You want to do a quick show? Okay. See ya.
He abandoned you again. I had to fill in for him on Monday night. He did it again.
I'm walking towards the building right now, and he's walking towards the remote lot. I don't know what he's doing.
Weezy.
Oh, okay. Oh, are you on the radio right now? Oh, hi, Courtney. Courtney Cronin, everybody.
Hi, Courtney.
Hello, Courtney.
Layla and Marshall, say hi. He says hello. She says hello. This is what's happening
is
right
so
now.
She's doing great.
There's a beat parade walking in right now. So that's what's happening. We are marching in to Halas Hall as we speak.
Well,
where were we?
We were talking about just the, you said there are many coaches who had been humbled after previously being confident to the point of perhaps cocky.
Yes.
And then you started naming the coaches.
Yeah. And look, we've all, like with all of these coaches that have come in here, like, there's reason to be excited about them. There's reason to for them to be confident and to like it. And none of that is gone for Ben Johnson, by the way. That's not the point that I'm making. But I think that you asked the question about, you know, the concern of Caleb Williams and the things that are being said. I think this is an overall thing. It's kind of like, welcome to the Bears. Like, things are not exactly as they appear to be when they walk in. This can all get cleaned up and it can all get better. It's not there yet.
Here's why I'm optimistic about things getting better, not because they're playing an easier opponent in the Detroit Lions on the road.
Hogue, everybody. Hi, Adam. How are you, buddy?
Hello,
hey, Adam
Hogue.
Roll call.
Yes.
But here's why I'm optimistic, Grody, is because Ben Johnson also alluded to not having called the best game because I think he was distracted by all these head coaching duties that came with Monday's first time ever being a head coach on the NFL sidelines. I want to know what you think he can be talking about when he says better job calling plays and adjusting to the pressure and everything else that Brian Flores brought.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the pressure part, it's right there. Now, does he mean specifically he could have run the ball more? He could have run more succinct, quicker plays for Caleb Williams? I'm guessing that that is some of it. I don't know that I saw much that was egregious in the play calling. Like, I don't think this was a day where we're all like hitting him over the head and wondering what the heck is going on, like we have with just about every single, every single play caller in this town over the last 20 years has taken a beating at some point in time, which extends. And, you know, we don't have to get into the names. I've got the list of names right at the top of my head, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to show a little bit of discipline here. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, and that goes along, too, with the theme and of what you guys are talking about here. It's not there yet. Like, what maybe Ben Johnson thought could occur beyond the opening scripted drive, there are things that have to be tightened up. There are things that he is learning. Like, we use the word fluid. It's a fluid situation for Ben Johnson in terms of learning his personnel and knowing. And this is just a great example, too, guys, of just how different it is from the preseason games, from what we see in training camp to when literally the lights come on at Soldier Field and you are going up against what is, I mean, let's keep this in mind, too. This is a hell of an opponent the Bears played in week one. The thing going into this week, the only thing we didn't know about was J.J. McCarthy, who is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. So now we know a little bit more about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I think that's the case, to say the absolute least. Mark Grody, we look forward to your work from the hall. I know the afternoon show does as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. I see Dan over yonder right now. I think he's okay. Yeah, he's waving. This means he's listening. That's good. Dan, we appreciate you. Layla and Marshall, I appreciate you. Ray, love you. Robbie, write that down.
Well,
say love you to me. What the hell?
I think you and Dan need to have a talk.
I love you too.
He did abandon you on Monday, just saying. You got stuck with your girl.
You've abandoned your child.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'll let you two have that chat. Mark, thanks again for joining us today.
See you soon, Mark.
Later. Bye.
Coming up next. Okay. I am fully aware that the optics on this are probably bad. And the fact that the segment I have written down is called College Football Lady probably doesn't make it any better. But we need to talk about the accountability in polling in college football. Because while it doesn't have as much value as it used to, that doesn't mean you disrespect the whole thing. How do you put this?
Don't disrespect the process. Someone did disrespect the process and then doubled down on social media. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take a look next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheemy and Harris Show with Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score, and we have been made aware of a story that is pretty interesting, because as we know, AP Top 25 comes out every week in college football. You try to see who voted for what, just like you do with, say, the Baseball Hall of Fame. That is the case in this. And there was one ballot that turned the heads of a lot of people, because Haley Sawyer of the SoCal News Group was calling out for making a pretty glaring mistake in her week three ballot. Florida ended up moving up two spots in her ballot, even though they lost to USF, who she remained unranked. So she got called out for it. It's her response, though, that because a lot of times you don't hear from the voters no matter what.
Right.
Then there was her response.
But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time.
Okay, listen, when she said there's a ton of people, when I think ton, first number that comes to mind is 2,000, because 2,000 pounds is literally a ton. There are 62 people who vote. And all she had to do was like, hey, you know, it's late night over here. Sometimes we make mistakes. I made a mistake. Why in the world would she just, you know what this reminds me of? Hunk of metal. Hunk of metal. You're taking something that you're not taking seriously, so you think other people don't take it seriously, much like a commissioner of baseball did once.
Florida loses, moves up two spots. South Florida is unranked.
And that's her second straight win. Remember, they beat a ranked Boise State team the week before.
That's right. But I understand that responding to people who want accountability like that can be tough. And perhaps it is younger people who have taken a different approach with it. But to be able to dismiss your own legitimacy in saying, I'm sure it evens out and it doesn't matter, when in reality, it absolutely matters. And the Associated Press is still one of the most trusted news sources we have. And additionally, it's such a good way to like throw away something, but still make people feel like they've gotten something, is to, I guess, just mention your morning routine. I wake up early after I went to bed late, and I don't want to get too much into it. Waking up is not part of your process. That's just what you have to do to function in the day.
To like, live.
You have to be awake in order to physically fill out your AP Top 25. For all the hell that we give coaches for voting for themselves, which I would 100% do if I was the head coach of a school, I would, with any whisper of a justification at the top 25,
you're
I would put
those?
My school in them. Absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm not the biggest cheerleader for my team, then who is? So that's the opposite side of this. To say it like that, where I feel like she thought she was being socially graceful, and I understand there's no way to appease the trolls, that didn't help matters.
Well, the crazy part is she's like, I've enjoyed the interaction so much so that by the time the story made the rounds, her tweets were protected. So you did not enjoy the interaction, is what I'm gathering by you protecting your tweets.
Part of the responsibility you have when you become a voter for these things is you do have to take this seriously.
Right.
And if there's a reason you wanted to move a team up, or if something doesn't make sense, part of the responsibility you have with a poll is to take the extra time to make it make sense.
She said it was really fun. I don't think it's fun for her anymore. At the time of the video, she said it's really fun and it probably doesn't matter in the end.
It was the waking up after going to bed late that got me, as if that somehow should change it or that has a bearing on it.
Well, if you don't wake up, you're dead. So
if you woke up later, would that mean you had looked at it differently?
Maybe she would have been more rested. I guess that's kind of how I took it. But regardless, if you're going to address it at all, address it and say, I'm so sorry. I forgot that South Florida beat Florida. This will be rectified in week four. And I bet you this will be rectified in week four.
Or just don't say anything.
Like, or just don't say anything.
That's the other part. I mean, at some point, you probably have to talk to your editor. But yeah,
it's a bad look for the newspaper group.
The SoCal News Group. And that was very Southern California accent there. But at the same time, I understand. There's a grace that people want to lean into on these things now to help diffuse the situation. But I think in doing so, she might have diffused herself.
For example, if this wasn't Southern California and this happened in, I don't know, Texas or Alabama or Georgia or Florida, can you imagine? Can you imagine? They'd be trying to dox her.
I think if your identity is known, you're not doxxed.
Well, like where she lives.
Yeah, yeah. I think like when you say your identity or you publish it in public places, then that's not doxxing. But in this case, yeah, it's unfortunately it's telling on yourself. And the other issue is if you don't have enough time to do it because you're busy covering a beat, give it to somebody who does, just like the coaches will give it to an assistant who may have more time than them.
Ask for help.
Yeah, it's okay to be responsible, but I don't think that was the move. We have Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes coming up next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.